Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're going to be speaking to Dr. Tal Mimran. And talking about the ICC, I would love to know, what is the ICC? I want to talk about the ICC, the Rome Statutes, and look at the success of the ICC. You know, the best predictor of, you know, future is the past. So, actually, no, that's not true. But the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. That is true. So, and that's not mine. That's Dr. Phil McGraw's. So let's look at the ICC. What is their success rate? Are they successful? Dr. Tal Mimran, he's an associate professor at the Sfat Academic College, the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of the Hebrew University, joins me now. Good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Very, very nice. Thank you so much for making time. So the International Court, the ICC, can we please just talk about the past? You know, what are their past successes? Have they had success in the past?
Well, I don't think that the ICC can attribute to itself any success, to be honest. Since its establishment, it was established as a very big hope, which turned out, in my view, as a hollow hope. First, we have seen a terrible management of resources. We have seen ineffective investigations which did not lead to results, and the most problematic aspect was the choice of cases and investigations of the court, especially in its first 15 years of operation. So it was very evident that the court was focusing on developing states which are struggling economically, politically, and militarily, while ignoring problems which we saw in relation to some of the more hegemonic Western states, such as the US, UK, Australia, and etc. So while we saw investigations into situations in Sudan, Libya, Colombia, we never saw an investigation into the activities of, for example, coalition forces. And even when in Afghanistan there was a sign that Ben Suda, the previous prosecutor, is interested in looking into the situation in Afghanistan, including coalition forces, then came Karim Khan, and with one of its first decisions, he decided to focus on the Taliban rather than on the coalition forces. So there is a problem of selectivity, there is a problem of effectiveness, and as a result of both, and there is, without a doubt, a deficit of legitimacy to the court. So apologies, but I cannot think of but one success that the court can be proud of.
Right, because, I mean, even if one looks at Omar al-Bashir, right, who they had this mm-hmm. ruling against, you know, he's still free.
Yes. Al-Bashir, Gaddafi never made it to the court, Putin will never make it to the court, and etc. The ICC is, in fact, a problematic creature in the sense that it goes against existing fundamental rules of international law. So, for example, the issue of immunity for state officials is an issue that was regulated for hundreds of years, and which state operated based on an understanding that this rule is a permanent part of the rules of the game. And suddenly the ICC tries to promote a different perspective, according to which there should be no immunity for international crimes. Now, without a doubt, we are all interested in the pursuit of prosecution of international crimes, but immunity has some roles nevertheless. For example, allowing diplomats to be able to move around the world and promote friendly relations between states. So, in fact, some of the trends which the ICC seeks to promote, specifically in the context of immunity, actually form in and of themselves a threat to stability, and as a result also to world peace and security.
Mm. So what can they actually do? Like how, are they just completely toothless? Or do they actually have some powers?
So just like any other international organization, the force of the organization is derived directly from states and from the authority, responsibility, and capacities which states attribute to this organization. So an organization like the United Nations, which includes about like the Security Council, has very significant teeth because states decided to allow this organization to be able to regulate international relations and to be some sort of a police officer of the world. But when it comes to the ICC, we see that there is no enforcing body in the court, and the court actually relies on the force of the Security Council, which means that, we are entering into a realm which is not only legal, but also political. Because in the Security Council, we have the P5, we have five permanent members with a veto right, and those five permanent members basically leave the ICC toothless, because Putin is in charge of a government which has a veto right, so the ICC can never enforce its authority towards Putin. And every state which has a sponsor...
Oh, no.
...or less secured from these possible enforcement measures. And the second possibility of enforcement on behalf of the ICC is on the states themselves. So here... States will find themselves in a dilemma. Should I inhibit on my relations with a certain state and maybe also with a group of states which is associated with it, or should I follow the guidance of the court and, for example, extradite a leader of a state? So thus far, this avenue did not prove very successful. We saw al-Bashir traveling around the world in Malawi, South Africa, Putin in South Africa, and al-Bashir in Malawi, apologies. And we are seeing that thus far states are choosing international relations. They are choosing their own diplomatic relations with other states rather than attributing a superior importance to the rules of the court or to the desires of the prosecutor of the court.
Which brings me to the question, if South Africa, mm-hmm. right, so al-Bashir did come here, Omar al-Bashir mm-hmm. did come to South Africa, and South Africa prosecute him, which tells mm-hmm. me that South Africa doesn't recognize the ICC as a court, and yet has filed
mm-hmm. yes.
this case yes. against... You know, against Bibi Netanyahu, and so then what would be the purpose of doing that? Is it just to keep it in the news?
So first we must keep in mind that 10 years ago South Africa planned to exit, to leave, to withdraw from the International Criminal Court because it was frustrated with the focus of the court on African states. So in fact we are seeing a state that was very that showed tremendous resistance to the court suddenly changing completely its perspective and harnessing the court to promote its own political objectives. Mm. Now, the treatment of South Africa towards Israel is nothing new. The BDS movement began in the Durban conference. South Africa has always been a very significant active member in the ring of state and non-state actors. We try to blockade and suffocate Israel economically and politically. And in this regard, South Africa is simply improving its game. It sought an opportunity to harness international organizations, specifically the ICC and also the International Court of Justice, in order to limit Israel, in order to inhibit on the ability of Israel to defend itself against Hamas. And it is actually doing a great job thus far. Because South Africa was able to completely focus the discussion on the wrongdoings of Israel in Gaza. And the world is completely forgotten about October 7. The world is completely forgotten about the fact that Israel did not start this war. Israel did not desire to enter into this conflict. So I think that South Africa has been working very effectively and indeed leading to a significant change in the discussion and in the focus within the discussion in relation to the Israel-Hamas war.
Tal, you make me want to study politics. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so
for
much.
Explaining to Thank the five-year-old you. That lives in my brain, that my five-year-old can understand, and really you inspire me. I feel smarter for having spoken
Thank
to you.
So
Thank
much.
You very, Thank you. Very much. That's Dr. Tal Mimran, who's an associate professor at the Sfat Academic College, the academic coordinator of the International Law Forum of the Hebrew University, and now you hear why his name is Doctor.